Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. We are at the McGowan Art Refuge.
Do I need to come over here?
What are we calling this establishment?
We've called the place a lot of things, and as it grows, we keep changing the name. We call it, the first thing was the McGowan Art Studio, and then lately we've been thinking about it more as a McGowan Art Retreat. And then someone suggested Sanctuary, and then we're like, the McGowan Art Retreat and Sanctuary, Mars. But I think McGowan Art Studio for now, and that's on Google Maps and all. The McGowan Art Studio.
McGowan Art Studio.
Or the McGowan Art Compound.
Art of the Compound. And we have the second of interim
artist in residence,
mm-hmm. Karina Rivera.
Yeah.
And I got it right.
Yeah, you did. Hello.
So, a little bit about you, Karina. Where are you from?
Well, I was born in Altamont Springs, Florida, to Puerto Rican parents, mm-hmm. and grew up just kind of in Florida and back and forth also going to Puerto Rico. I lived in North Carolina for 2 years, left back in Florida.
What part of Florida? Just kind of all over?
Altamont Springs, like growing up as a child. And then for a bit of my teenage years, I was in Boca Raton.
Yeah, okay.
The south, near Miami.
And so how did art or the being creative, how did that start for you?
As like a child, My dad also went to art school, and he's an architect.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad was always very encouraging with drawing and going to museums and galleries, and always just encouraged some form of creativity and such. But in my teenage years, I pretty much eliminated like arts and creative because I was so invested in sports. I was, just focused on sports, so, like, my teenage years, I did not care for art at all, and at some point just wasn't happy with doing sports anymore. And
what other sports was you involved in?
I did tennis.
Tennis.
Yeah, I just trained in tennis.
It has been a long time since I played. When I was living down in Mobile, we would play tennis recreationally, like our apartment complex. They had a tennis complex.
Yeah.
And I was so proud of myself when I learned how to put spin on my serve.
Oh, that's a good moment, though.
Yeah. And I could guarantee some points on the serve, but if we ever got the volley, and I might be in trouble.
Is it, like, too fast? Like, because once you're, like, closer to the net, it's just, like, it's coming at you at a much faster pace,
mm-hmm.
so...
But yeah, it was that same way with, like, even table tennis. It's like I had a really good serve. But if we got the volley in, I was going to get in trouble because I was going to get in my own head. I'm thinking about where I was going to try to place the next shot and not be thinking about where you're going to send the next shot,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right in your head.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Here, this will humble you. But so you picked up tennis for a while, was training in that, then art came back into your life?
Yeah. When I was kind of... I was just really not happy in tennis anymore. I was just probably really burned out and really tired. I slowly started watching some documentary films and looking up like documentary photographers, and I don't remember how I got into that, but in some way that popped into my life. And well, my dad was always really interested in documentaries, and we always watched it growing up, but somehow it came back when I was around 16, 17, mm-hmm. and fell in love with just some documentary photographers and street photographers, and just slowly from there was interested in the arts again. And thankfully from like a push from my dad to pursue it a mm-hmm. bit more, because I was like, no, I'm an athlete, I'm a tennis player, I don't do that stuff. And he's just like, no, I really think you should take the time to consider it and go to university and mm-hmm. and such. So
we all have a mutual friend, J.C. Long. I think you met him
yeah.
recently.
Yeah, yeah.
He's into street photography and, well, all kind of different photographies. Mm-hmm. He has a couple, I know, like on Instagram, that he follows that he's really inspired by. Do you have any that really just inspire you right now?
I mean, he's not really a street photographer, but he does documentary work and such. But Mustafa Abdulaziz mm-hmm. is a, I believe he's from New York. And he does a beautiful project on water. It's like very broad and open, but his documentary work on water and like how water is connected to culture, economics, sociology, psychology, and every form, how water weaves into different parts of the world, like the earth, but then also our life as well. This is my favorite photographer at the moment, and also the research and the amount of care he puts in his work, at least for me, is mm-hmm. quite amazing. But of course there's like the classics of like Vivian Meyer, I believe it's pronounced, mm-hmm. I don't remember, and there's so many. I am always bad at remembering
yeah,
the names.
I know, it's kind of,
I probably need to like just write a whole list in my notebook so that I remember, but I'm quite awful at remembering names, but yeah.
Well, two's good. I mean, it's kind of a tough question when you put on the spot with something like that. Like, well, who's your biggest influences?
Yeah.
What about university? So after high school, would you study in the States or would you be going to Europe? Or
no, I went to the Savannah College of Art and Design.
Okay, so that's where Joseph comes in.
Yeah, yeah. And I had, we were both in athletics. Like I had was lucky enough to receive a full scholarship there to do tennis, and which allowed me to go to university. And yeah, and then Joseph I met my freshman year. I think the second quarter. I like knew him from the first quarter and was just like, who is this human roaming around the premises of SCAD? And then we got to know each other the second year. Yeah. And he was someone who got me interested in oil pastels, because I was pretty like fully, strictly kind of in photography and had no knowledge or comfort in drawing at all. And he always had these oil pastels, and so we would just sit around in random corners and just draw, and that was like my first comfort or like feeling like I can do anything on this paper and it won't matter what
I kind of opened you up.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I was very like closed off and very private, and both like with people and with like myself and such, so to be able to go on a piece of paper and just draw a bit was quite relieving.
Yeah, so at that time it was still photography and tennis predominantly, and so mm-hmm. and you were just getting back to different medias with
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I was trying to lose my tennis identity. Like I was really just like, no, but I couldn't stop because I was being paid to go to university for it, but
yeah.
I was trying to eliminate this whole identity and go into the arts a bit more and explore that. But yeah, it was mainly in my freshman year was still predominantly photography, like traditional documentary photography, and yeah, that's it. I mean, you take foundation courses at mm-hmm. in your art universities as well, so just basics. Taking designs and graphic or design 101 and color theory. And yeah.
I got you. And so what about, would you finish at Savannah or would you move on from there? Or what did it look like?
I did finish in Savannah. I did my 4 years in Savannah. And that was, for me, like a really incredible time to explore so many different mediums and just get comfortable with getting out of my comfort zone, mm-hmm. pretty much. Like, I remember my senior year having a difficult time because I felt like the athletics required you, or at least in tennis, or at least how I was trained in tennis and such, you have to be quite, not cold, but you have to not let certain emotions interfere, and you can't be open also to others while you're playing. Like, if you're sensitive towards others, you lose. Like, yeah. You need to be able to
close yourself off.
Yeah, close yourself off and just be like, this person's weakness, this is how I'm going to beat them, and I don't care like how they feel, because as soon as I cared about how they felt, then I would, yeah, lose. And then the opposite was the arts, where it's requiring you...
Yeah, to open yourself all the way up.
Yeah, completely, and be so sensitive and question all these different things about you and the world around you, and just the complete opposite. So it was quite... For me, it was the hardest in my senior year to go through that, like have to go to training and have to go to these tournaments and still have this part of myself that was closed off, and then go to class the next day or the next morning and be asked to do the complete opposite. And
yeah, he's living two lives.
Yeah, yeah. Especially my senior year, I was doing a project, attunement and refraction, with a really, really good friend of mine, Annika, and we were pretty much just doing a collaboration together where that was... we had very different styles of communication, but we had to be really open with one another and try to figure out and try to learn about each other's communications and lives without also wanting to change the other person. And that just puts you in a really sensitive, really, really sensitive area. So that was hard.
Yeah.
That was a hard time. But in the end, those 4 years were really great and really important.
And so what about after you finished up college? What would you do then?
After I finished college, I went... I stayed in Savannah for like 2-3 months, mm-hmm. just kind of working to save up some money. And then after 2-3 months in Savannah, I went straight to Berlin. Yeah.
What led you out to Berlin?
My second year of university, I went in the winter backpacking on my own to Europe, just for like a month or so. And I was in Copenhagen, and I ended up meeting this guy in Copenhagen who we like just bonded over. I did online schooling, so from 13 years old to I went till 18, I did only online schooling, and he did homeschooling because he grew up in a traveling circus or something. So we talked for hours and hours, and then by the end of it, he's like, "Oh, where is your next destination on your backpacking trip?" I said, "Oh, I'm not really sure. I will see where I end up going." And he said, "I think you should go to Berlin. I think you would really, really like it." Mm-hmm. And that's all the information he gave me, and I was just like, okay, yeah, I guess I'll go there. And I ended up staying there for the rest of my backpacking trip. Like, then I was supposed
to... So he wasn't wrong.
Yeah, he was not wrong. He was really right. I trusted him. I'm like, 3 hours talking to a person, and if you get along with them after three couple hours, I trust their judgment a bit. So that's how I ended up in Berlin. And I had a really great time there. And then that was the winter of 2017. So then the summer of 2018, I was interning at the Impossible Project. I was able to get an internship through, just talking to some really great people at a conference, and then interned there for 3 months. And that then kind of solidified for me that I want to be in Berlin after spending 3 months there doing that internship. And
what was the job like while you were interning?
So I was interning for the photo editor, and I mean, it was pretty simple. Like, I scanned a lot of Polaroids, like hundreds of Polaroids. That was my main job, just scanning them all digitally and assisting with anything that they needed in the office, doing some photo shoots here and there. Mm-hmm. And then, pretty much just like being like, do you need anything? Do you need anything? Da, 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 da. And that was my time there for that internship. And the photo editor was really nice and put a good like imprint on just like working there as well.
Mm-hmm. Kind of opened some doors for you.
Yeah. Later, when I came a year later for my visa, because I wasn't finished with university yet, I then went back to SCAD, finished my senior year, and when I went back for my visa, I went to Berlin. Without a visa or anything, just the travel one. So I had 3 months to figure out like what visa I'm going to get, because there's like 5-6 different kinds, and each of them require different documents. So thankfully, I was going to Polaroid at that time. Then they changed back to Polaroid, and just knocking on their door like, do you need any assistance? Do you need any help? And after a couple weeks, they're like, yeah, we actually need your assistance and some help around the office. And they really helped me get that visa. I ended up getting an artist freelance visa, and I don't think it would have been possible for me to get that if I wouldn't have interned with them or had some kind of
connection
there. I mean, I could have, but it would have been a lot harder because I was going pretty much blind. I kind of asked around my university, like, how do I, like, what do I need to do to, like, go to Berlin? Like, what are all the requirements and all the legal stuff and visa stuff I need to do to be able to do it? And no one knew how to do it. Like, I mean, I really enjoyed and I'm super thankful for everyone there. But, like, when I asked how I can get there, they're like, I don't know. You just have to do it yourself. I was like, but you're, like, the university. You're supposed to.
Can I add something? Mm-hmm. This is really unusual, too, because it's super difficult for a fine artist to come out of college and just fall into something like that. It doesn't happen. It's rare. Mm-hmm. So this is, like, a significant thing for her career and life, for that to have happened and make it happen herself by going over and just taking a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't say, you get a degree, we're going to help you get a job. That's not how
it
works.
It doesn't.
It's not like other fields either.
Yeah, that's a very good point. There's a lot of things that you just have to figure out yourself, and you know, there's nice people along the way who will like give you some hints and stuff there, and maybe some who will even like really, really help you. But of course, coming right out of university, each person wants to do their own thing also, so that's why it's so difficult to know exactly what you need to do, like what papers and things you need to.
I finished trade school, and like it was just kind of a rare thing, but I had a job lined up the moment I graduated. And I know for a lot of people, it seems to be that way no matter what you study. It's like you graduate and it's kind of like, well, now what?
Yeah.
You know, you got to pick up the pieces and figure it out.
Yeah. And I liked that. I mean, that was a big reason for me to go to Berlin also, because my impression of Berlin or like the people I spent my time around in Berlin, it wasn't about, your job was not the focus at all, or isn't the focus. Like, I know people from, a lot of my friends are in so many different ranges of fields, and you all hang out together and you don't talk about work. And some of them, I don't even really know what they do, yeah. but they're really, really good friends of mine and we know each other in a much different form. But when it comes to jobs, that's really not the focus at all, which mm-hmm. is something that attracted me to that place mm-hmm. a lot. But then, of course, you do need to find the job and you need to have the right paperwork at some point and yeah. such. But yeah.
So just about like the media and what you do now with what you were showing us over there, yeah. how did you get into that? And what's it called?
Yeah, so it's called Cyanotypes. Cyan, like the color, mm-hmm. and types, something. but I got into it. I've always been into the darkroom process. Like, I always shoot film. I don't really do digital, and I've always enjoyed like hand processes. And I mainly got into cyanotypes because one of my bosses in Berlin, she runs the Berlin Drawing Room, and she focuses mainly on like botanical watercolors. And I was never really into botanicals. I mean, I really enjoyed it, but it wasn't part of my work so much, and it wasn't something I would focus in. But because of the job I have and being surrounded by botanical artwork, I was really interested, like, oh, okay, how can I implement this in like photography? And then just kind of looking up different darkroom processes, a beautiful book came up by Anna Atkins, which is actually the very first photography photo book and published, and then also by a woman, Anna Atkins. And this is a beautiful book of, I think, 200 something UK algaes, and it's all cyanotype process. And cool. So when I found this book and was just kind of looking through it, I was so interested by it, like the detail, the color, the little veins and stuff coming out of the leaves, and then how you can play with the composition with your hand. And it's not like in a photo where it's just the camera and the things that I don't really like play with the things up that I'm shooting with my camera, but with this it's like something
kind
that
of
you can
manipulate it a little bit.
Yeah, and so that was really interesting, I think. And now I'm just playing around with it, and lucky enough to be here and just have time to do it. But that's how I got into it.
And plenty of different plants and types yeah. to work with, right?
Amazing, yeah. And plants that when I go back to Berlin I won't see anymore. So such a nice way to explore new things around. And yeah.
And so just a little bit about the work that you've been doing since you've been here in the Starkville area with the McGowans. What have you been working on?
So the cyanotypes, as we were just talking about, just doing lots of those, and also doing a lot of drawing, and mainly with oil pastels. I mean, we had brought up earlier,
back to the
like,
roots,
back to oil pastels, meeting Joseph. I mean, I never left the oil pastels. I always drew with them, and they're always a big part in just drawing and carrying around my notebook and such.
A lot of abstract kind of.
Yeah, a lot of faces. I've like just really do a lot of faces, and that's never really changed since freshman year. I mean, the faces kind of change a little bit, but now it's getting a bit more abstract now because of the cyanotypes, and as I said before, the Berlin Drawing Room, mm-hmm. the botanicals. I've then gotten interested in flowers and nature around. But yeah, and oil pastels are great for abstracting it all. So
good for collaboration too.
Yeah.
Now Joseph visited you in Berlin one year.
Yeah, he
and
did.
And you guys had a little show.
Yeah.
Up in like a loft or some really cool.
It's
place.
An attic. It was like
attic.
A completely abandoned attic.
It was.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it was great, and that was also with oil pastels, and I mean Joseph also does so many different faces and forms, so. We played around with oil pastels, just walking around Berlin, always drawing, and then with tons of Polaroids as well. And so, yeah, those things have always kind of been in my drawings, and whenever Joseph and I are kind of together, they just get enhanced, like, by a lot.
Yeah.
So
what about, since your time spent in Mississippi, like, just being on the property, it just tends to bring out, like, the most creative in people. What about just Starville? Has there been any particular places you've gone that was pretty impressive to you?
Well, I haven't been able to go to so many places at the moment. I think it was Thanksgiving, and then it was storming. But we did yesterday go to Dave's
Dark Horse Tavern.
A
local fave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was great. I mean, it's just nice to, like, be in the South again and meet so many people. And we went, and who was playing at Dave's?
The Holograms, right?
The Holograms. Yeah. So they were there, and also got to see Del Rendon's work, like paintings that are at Dave's as well. And it's just really pleasant to meet all these new people and hear, like, what they're up to, because everyone's also drawing or doing music.
Well, and also, we really wanted her to meet some of the members of the Del Rendon Foundation board, and there's three non-family members on there: myself, Joe McGowan, and then Dave Hood and Lee Graham, and the rest are family members, and the Del Rendon Foundation helps provide a stipend for the visiting artists here. So that was, it was really nice for her to get to meet a couple of them, and one of them is a musician, and one of them is very supportive of music and art, so...
It was really nice, and I'm hoping to go back, like, in the next couple days and be able to take some portraits there as well. That would be nice.
I went
during the nighttime, where it's a little bit more difficult, and I also forgot my camera. Like,
very difficult to take photographs
without the camera. So hopefully, in the next couple of days, be able to go back and take some portraits there as well, and meet some more people.
Yeah, maybe do a little street photography.
I haven't done street photography in a long time, but
You did see a few of the local murals one day, I think.
We drove around.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hopefully it'll be better.
Yeah.
We're keeping her busy, though. We're letting her out just for small periods of time, and then we're like, get to work.
Yeah, you gotta draw some more.
Yeah, no, she's very...
Shoo, go.
She's very active. She's very busy. She's doing a lot of cool things. We're very excited.
They also have so many cool materials and stuff here. Like, Joe and Joseph just have an amazing collection of pens and paints and...
You know, a little bit more about your time spent here.
Yeah.
Is that going to look the way it did for Joseph? Is there going to be an event set up in town for her to show what she's done?
We are going to have a small reception and showing of some of the work she's done while here. This Friday, December 2nd, from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Starville Area Arts Council space on Main Street. It's a new space they just got, and I think she'll be one of the first people to have a little a show there. It's a one-night show.
Nice.
Yeah. So we invite people to come in and see your work, and some of it will be for sale. So
yeah,
certainly buy a piece. I mean, she's traveled all the way from Berlin, you know,
yeah, to be
you
here.
Know, and her outlook is very different. It's fresh.
And
for
I haven't been to the U.S. for 3 years, so it's like, it's really nice to be back, but when I go back to Berlin, I'm like, I don't know the next time I'm going to be in the U.S. I mean,
yeah.
We'll see.
So when you came back, was you coming back just for here, and then you're back in Berlin? Or?
Yeah, well, I'm right after here, I'm going to go see my grandparents in Puerto Rico for a month, and I usually go and see them for a month every year, but I always skip the U.S. and just go straight to Puerto Rico, but I will be with them for a month and also working on a project, like a photo project there that I'm working with my grandparents.
Nice.
I just get to spend my whole days with them and photograph them and also learn about the town that they live in, which is really, really isolated and not many people around, but hopefully be able to walk around and meet some people and photograph them as well. And so it'll be it's going to be a busy these 2 weeks and then a month, and mm-hmm. and then I go back to Berlin and I'll be pretty set there.
So, like, what does a day in the life for you in Berlin look like? What is that like? We talked before we got started about grocery shopping on Sunday and how that's not a thing.
Yeah, all the grocery stores are closed on Sunday, so you can't do grocery shopping on Sunday. And usually that's everyone's, especially people who aren't from Germany, like a lot of the Americans and such that I know, every Sunday they're just like, oh, I need to go do groceries, and then they're like, ah, no, it's closed, it's ruined, I can't do anything. But a day in a life for me in Berlin, to be honest, quite shifts around a lot, because I do different kinds of freelance work. I also do archiving in a gallery. And so more like within a week, it's like one morning I can be going in the morning to do archiving. Another morning I can be doing some work at Berlin Drawing Room, just organizing workshops. But then some mornings I just make coffee and I'm drawing and doing photos or just taking long walks, like walks in Berlin, like very long couple hour walks are really nice. And also meeting friends, like there's so many great people around there, you can just sit down and have really great conversations. Like my work, in the sense of like my photos and drawings, are always like very, very slow, so I'm never doing them constantly in Berlin, but I'm always meeting people and moving around and taking and having like my notebook with me and taking little bits and pieces from like what I'm doing and doing little notes and little drawings. And then at some point I'll take the time to make it bigger or lock myself in my bedroom for like a day or two, which is sometimes really nice to just be there and just draw. But it can really change. It shifts a lot. It's not very static, which I really like.
Yeah, so. It sounds like it. I mean, every day presents its own challenges and what you're going to do for that day.
Yeah.
What about as far as like entertainment? You mentioned like long walks and hanging out with friends. What about as far as like music shows or anything like that? Are you into that?
Yeah, I love this. I mean, I go to a lot of, I mean, Berlin is for sure known for like their clubs and their parties, and I love going to them. I go there quite often. There's just, and usually they're like techno or drum and bass or break beats or some live concerts, but for me, I really, really enjoy just dancing, so...
A lot of EDM?
Not EDM. Is there a difference between techno, EDM, and, like... I don't really know.
I'm sure there is. Yeah. But, like, I would not be the...
And there's, like...
Then
there's, like, trance and, like, ambient, and...
Yeah.
I'm slowly learning, like, because a lot of my friends are within this music world, and they're doing, like, really amazing things, but with them, I'm slowly learning what all the differences are.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to music and kind of entertainment there, to be honest, I just really love going to these clubs and going into a corner and just dancing for a really, really long time. And the beautiful thing about that place is that people don't really bother you there. So I never really went out in the US, but there I go out alone, or I would go alone quite often and just be in a corner dancing, and no one would bother me, or everyone would just let me be as I wish. Joseph has arrived. And then and a lot of my friends there, when I also go out, I'm not very talkative. I've become even more and more quiet. So it's been really nice to meet people who, when I'm out, they also just, they're not constant like, are you okay? Are you good? Do we need talk? And like needing, everyone just kind of chills, hangs around, listens to really great music. Yeah. And then you're there all of a sudden for like 6, 7 hours, 8 hours, longer. And then it's a really nice time. And then you come out in the daytime and you're like, that was nice. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't do so many live events. I think it's also more money-wise. All these things cost money, and I have to select. But I would say, for a weekend entertainment, some really great music and a place to dance is where you will find me, I guess.
Well, cool. I guess I have 3 questions for you, and we'll walk it out the door.
Cool.
Is as far as if people want to see what you're working on, do you have like an Instagram or a social media that you share your work on?
I have a website. I mean, I have a social media, and there's a
link. It's not really active.
I don't really put my work on there so much, which I probably should change, but I have my website's connected to my Instagram, if that makes sense.
Just let the hurricane blow through for a minute. All right, I think we're good.
I just say my website is karinarovira.format.com. So KARINA. Rovira, ROV as in Victor, IRA, and then dot format, format.com. Hopefully I spelled all that right. I know.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's and then my Instagram is longer, and I may spell it wrong.
Oh boy.
It's KKKKKKK. Underline.
Underscore.
Yeah, underscore. Chiquitita. So CHIQIITIAT. Chiquitita.
It's close enough.
Yeah.
It'll get you there.
Yeah.
Take out a K or two.
Yeah. It's 7 Ks. That's it's a lot. Just type in Karina Rovira.
It'll get there.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Question 2. So far, and we've talked a little bit about it, but what has been just some of your favorite moments being back in the South? Is it just being able to take time and work, or hanging out with Joseph for a little while? Mm-hmm. Or?
Maybe like all of the above and plus more. I think really taking like... One of the, I think, for not all the time, but moments of just, like, being able to just focus on work is really such a privilege to have. You're able to take that time and a beautiful, like, great time. It's also hard. Like, there's been a couple days where I'm, like, not liking anything I do, but you're kind of forced to sit with it. And then when you really aren't liking it, then all of a sudden you're like, it starts working out a bit more. Like this morning when I was showing the cyanotypes, I was not really enjoying what I was doing the past couple days, and then today it was
kind of had a breakthrough.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, okay. That's the really beautiful thing about just having the time to do it. It's not always the most beautiful thing, but it's just mm-hmm. time. And then being able to just sit around with Joseph again, like I hadn't seen him since 2018 when he came for my internship in Berlin. And it's always so nice to be drawing again and be like in freshman year, just on one sheet of paper, just and then everyone else that I've been lucky enough to meet here as well and see what they're up to. We've met people who are doing photography, like JC, someone yesterday named Tuesdays doing watercolors, mm-hmm. and other photographers and other painters. And so I always, from like doing documentary work, always enjoy meeting new people, and in so many different forms, from like what they say or how they express themselves or how they move or what they do, is always really fascinating to watch. And so that's a really nice thing about being in the South. I mean, there's then a unique way that everyone communicates here, and mm-hmm. that isn't like Berlin. So and the weather is great. In Berlin, it's like really,
right now?
It's gray and dark and cold. And here we are like sitting by this beautiful pond with some wind and I have like one jacket on. So yeah, it's nice to be back.
Yeah. I don't know if they had anything to plug, but last question to walk out of the door, mm-hmm. just put you on the spot. What was your favorite part of this interview?
Oh no. I think I really just enjoyed the time to just sit and talk, honestly. Like, and you seem like very relaxed. Like, I feel there's some things that even Joe hasn't heard about, like my growing up or my like what I've been up to or what I've been doing. Because
and did we miss anything? Was there anything that we missed? I don't know if I rushed through.
No. But
we hit the milestones.
I'm always quite vague and jumpy with things, and then there's like tons of other details, but that will take forever to sit down. But no, I really just enjoyed the time sitting with you and being able to talk about, also look back at university. I haven't talked so much about like what I was doing in university, and so it's nice to think back to that time. Yeah,
it's a very unique time in your life when you're figuring things out. I like what you said about, you know, like closing yourself off while you were playing tennis, and then having to open yourself up,
mm-hmm.
you know, while you're trying to be artistic and creative.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really hard to do if you weren't opening yourself up.
Yeah. Was that your favorite part of the interview?
I think so, because I've never heard it put that way before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good insight,
because
I think it is that way in, like, competition or sports, to where you do have to shut yourself off, and it is very much about, I have a job to do, and I have to do it regardless of what that does to the person I'm in competition with.
Yeah.
Versus where when it comes to the arts, or you're trying to express the way that you perceive the world, or what it's saying to you.
Yeah.
So you have to be open.
Yeah.
That was a very good way to put it.
Yeah, I'm glad I put it that way.
Yeah. Well, Karina, I don't have anything else to do. Anything else you'd like to plug?
No, all good. Thank you, Wind. It was nice also. And it was a great time. Thank you.
Great. And we're done.
Good idea, man.
So, all right, before we sign off on this podcast, I wanted to sit down with Joe to make sure that we cover all the bases with the McGowan Studio. So, as far as funding, how does that happen, and how can listeners get involved if they want to?
Well, there's two big components here. There's the McGowan side of it, which we're building a sort of an art compound out here, the McGowan Art Studio compound, whatever you'd like to call it. We are able to bring in visiting artists to stay with us in a cabin we built, or our old house. We're building a gallery, which when we finish, we'll do workshops, and artists can do workshops and show their work there when they're staying with us. That's all funded 100% from sales of art over the years. As we sell art, we buy lumber. Very simple. And then we have a on the side that we have this part of this is an artist in residence program we really wanted to do, and so we can house artists here. But typically, artists in residence programs don't have paid stipends for artists. In fact, I believe, to my knowledge, that we haven't been able to find another private entity in Mississippi that has a paid artist in residence program. There's some universities and other things. So that's huge. And so, but for the funding for the stipend, that is coming from the Del Rendon Foundation. It's a local organization that supports arts and music. They're at the backbone of almost every art and music event locally, including a huge art scholarship at Mississippi State. So they're easy. You can support them. You can go to the Del Rendon Foundation Facebook page. There's a donate page there. You can easily donate. You can go to the website, delrendon.org. You can donate easily. There's many ways, but that's huge. So that supports the financial aspects of the artists in a large way. We take care of the housing and some of the food and whatnot and promotional activities and art supplies in some cases. It's a kind of a double thing. And I'm part of the foundation now. It's a full nonprofit organization, and I'm one of the board members. So.
Right on. And so the gallery is near finished. It's over halfway done. What about the future plans? Possible music events? What are you thinking?
Yeah, our gallery is a long building. You can't see it on a podcast, but it's a elongate building with a huge front porch. It's covered facing the pond, and it's a good view of the sunset in the evening. So on the porch, when it's nice, we hope to have outdoor musical activities, even things like little plays, you know, whatever. Various performances, and it'll be an indoor-outdoor kind of thing with two large French doors on the front leading out to the porch. But inside, we hope to have art on display regularly. And then we are out in the country. We're 10 miles from Starkville, down a gravel road, depending on how you come. And, you know, so, you know, it's not going to be like a everyday, like a super busy place, but we'll have events, and we hope to highlight visiting artists that we bring in or other people who want to teach a workshop. So we want to combine the music and art, and even maybe visually have digital shows of art in the background while people are playing music. There's no in between. It can be everything, you know, all over the place. Just anything artistic, creative. You know, maybe at times have someone cooking some interesting food, or we might have some of these sip and paint things, you know, that people do. Whatever. And now we're a little ways off. We just gotta, you know, plug along, get there, but it's really come a long way though.
All right. Anything else that you'd like to say about the retreat, the compound, or studio?
Well, we have our second with Karina, our second paid in resident. It's been it's really fun to see how it's working. We both of them were kind of handpicked. You know, we're looking for people with connections to us at the moment, and people we think would fit into our kind of rural but interesting landscape with the natural history here that's rich and people that are appreciated. And so far, both of them have really done really well. They've taken the opportunity to do a lot of art, concentrated art, in a short, you know, period of time, a couple of weeks. She's been here a week. I mean, she's working on art almost every day, into the night, just roaming around, soaking it in, working. It's been a really good experience, both for us and I think both of the artists we've had. I guess I'm speaking for them, but I think they are getting a little bit out of it, and we certainly are, you know. And we're making interesting connections with them, too. You know, maybe we'll go visit Karina in Berlin, you know, or maybe Puerto Rico, or, you know, wherever. You know, we're hoping to bring different people together and bring new people to Starkville. Mm-hmm. In addition to, we also want local and regional artists to come out. I mean, we're trying to, you know, it's a different tiered system. There's like, we want some international, national, regional, and local people involved with participating out here. In some way or another, everything will be different. You know, sometimes they might want to come out and work a little and stay for free and do some work. You know, we all have everything in between there that we can think of over time.
Right on. Anything else to do?
Well, I just got a lot of work to do. Physical labor.
Yeah, so come out here and sign up. Put some nails in some boards.
There you go. Yeah, free labor is very helpful. But it's all a good cause. Everything we're doing, I think, helps other people in this region. And I think it makes the area better when people are doing something to bring art and creativity to the public. I think it's always good.
Absolutely. Puts a little bit of culture on the map for us, you know.
I mean, she might be, you know, this girl flew in from Berlin. I mean,
just to be in Sessoms.
Just, you know, and like, why would someone come from Germany to be in Starkville on the country? You know, it's just an interesting concept. You know, I can see why we might want to go to Berlin.
Yeah.
But there's something different here. And we've talked about this before, where we feel like Mississippi is a hotbed for creativity. And there's something in the air that makes you want to make art. And it's just easy and relaxed. And you don't have to think about anything else. And you can just do it. And no one's making you do a certain type of art. I'm like, you know, we might joke around a little bit. Like, get to work, Karina. But she's just doing her thing and showing us how she's doing it and maybe learning a little from us by mistake. Yeah.
Right on.
There you go.
Well, that'll do it for me.
All right.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Something, it's hard to believe, there's something when you feel
goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.